Okay, guys, in today's show, we're going to be doing a fantasy check-in on the Atlanta Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Boston Celtics, as well as looking at some waiver wire options to add to your fantasy team for the week and the season to come. So let's get stuck right into it. All right, guys, let's have a look at some waiver wire options for your fantasy league. Some guys who I think are under-rostered and should be rostered in 12-team leagues, and a couple of deep league suggestions at the bottom as well. All these guys are currently under 70% rostered on Yahoo leagues, so they may not be available in your league, but they will be available in some people's leagues. So we'll start with John Isaac of the Orlando Magic. We're starting to see some of the defensive numbers come back for Isaac. I still think he can be a top 100 player this season. The minutes the last couple of games have been a little bit iffy. He had pushed to 30 in the previous games, but back down around the 24-25 mark over the last couple. But over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 120 player. He's getting you a steal, over a block a game. The field goal percentage is up at 46. He's hitting a three. He's averaging 10 points in those six games. It's starting to come together for Isaac. And I do still believe that everything is going to push forward as the season goes on. We'll see the steals and blocks continue to increase, as is what's happening at the moment. And I don't think he should really be on too many waiver wires at this point. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the LA Clippers, another guy who is under-rostered, just 53% in Yahoo. I think he can be a top 100 player also this season. Now, I don't think his ceiling is all that high. I don't think he's pushing to top 50 or top 70 or anything like that, but I think he's going to be fairly solidly in that 100 to 120 type of range. He's the 127th guy so far this season, 94th over the last 2 weeks, averaging 11, 3.5, and 3. But it's really the blocks that's giving him value, 0.8 blocks, 1.3 steals, 48 and 82 as his two percentages. That's a lot of value in categories which don't necessarily pop off the screen, but it is providing those numbers. He's still only at 27 minutes a game on the season. I do think that will increase at some point. There's always a chance that Patrick Beverley gets moved in a deal. Gilgeous-Alexander has clearly moved ahead of Beverley, but it's still those four guards there with Avery Bradley and Lou Williams, along with Shai and Beverley, who are competing for those minutes. But Shai is going to get the majority of that playing time. Now, last game wasn't great in that blowout loss to the Heat, but he played 29, 23, 24, 33, 29, 30, 29, 29 in his past 10 games. So putting up some solid enough numbers, a consistent source of steals and blocks, needs to get the assists up, need to get the points up, but I think he's going to be solidly around that top 100 area. Terrence Ross, another guy who is available in almost 50% of leagues. Ross has been really strong this season, a big surprise after missing nearly all of last year with that patella issue and associated ligament problems in his knee. Has been very strong this season on the back of some pretty nice shooting, 46% and 40% from three. So it's not entirely unsustainable. He hasn't ever been at this level before, but what he's doing now is giving you a steal a game. You're giving you 14.5 to 15 points and 2 to 2.5 threes per game. So you're pretty clear where his value is lying in which categories, and it's not going to be for everybody. But as a consistent scoring threes and steals threat, Terrence Ross is one of the best ones of those available on the waiver wire, and he's obviously underutilized at just 53% rostered on Yahoo. So someone that you can have a look at who is there, who can probably help your team out. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, another guy who's available in about 50% of Yahoo leagues. It wasn't a great start to the season after he missed the beginning with that avulsion fracture in his ankle. Came back, had to battle Alex Len. But over the last 2 weeks, he's the 50th ranked player in fantasy basketball. Only averaging 7 points, but almost 8 rebounds and a massive 2.7 steals. Now that is clear flukiness involved there, because the last three seasons, let's go per 36 numbers, because he's never playing these sort of minutes all those times in San Antonio or Orlando. But the last four seasons, steals per 36, 0.7, 1.1, 1.0, 0.9. All right, so you get the picture. This season, 1.9 steals per 36. The last six games, 4 steals per 36. So there is something clearly weird going on. But on the flip side, his block numbers over the last couple are a little bit down. This is a guy that averaged over 2 blocks per 36 in Orlando, only at 1 block per 36 over the last 6 games. And his field goal percentage, where he'd been 56, 56, 62, and 52, he's at 44%. So while the steals are likely to come down for the Undertaker, no doubt, the field goal percentage and the blocks are likely to go back up, making him a pretty solid top 100-ish type of a player. We've seen the minutes push up for him as well, 31, 22, and 30 over the last 3 games, and that's with Alex Len healthy. He's clearly taking that role back and making it his own. Len sometimes isn't even a player in the rotation every night, so the Undertaker's value there is relatively solid, I think. Wes Matthews, another guy who I think is a little bit undervalued. I've got him projected to be the 106th ranked player for the rest of the season. We know his minutes are relatively solid. Now, he started off the season jacking a ton of shots and being a real destructive player for the Mavericks, destructive in terms of hurting his own team. But I think he's sort of balanced that out. He's not a great option. He's almost like a poor man's Terrence Ross, who's giving you those threes with some scoring. He doesn't really add much in the steals category, and he's shooting at the moment over the last month at 48 and 47 from the field and from three. He is likely to decrease, but I do think that he is under-rostered at the moment, Wes Matthews, and he could be an option to help your fantasy team. Next, we look at the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu, who is as up and down as they come. We're well aware of his inconsistencies, but he is available in 48% of Yahoo leagues. And of late, I'd say there's been more good games from Aminu than shit games. In fact, over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 50 player. 31 minutes a night, no one's doubting the playing time for Aminu. 13 and 7.5, bringing over a three, over a steal. But in that time, of course, he's shooting 67% from the field, which we know is not going to happen. His last two seasons, he shot under 40% from the field. So there is a dramatic fall going to come from Aminu. But over the course of the season, he's a top 115 player, shooting only 44% from the field. So it's not like he's been red hot all year. He's giving you good rebound numbers, solid steal numbers, good threes, and that's really where his numbers come in, or where he can help you. But he is available in many leagues, and someone who probably is a little bit under-rostered, as is Noah Vonleh, who is rostered in just 50% of Yahoo leagues. I don't think he's going to be able to continue doing what he's doing. I've been pretty clear on saying that all season. Because he's shooting at an unsustainable rate, 50% from three over the last month, 45% from three over the course of the season. And he's also pushed his block numbers, doubled his career numbers in terms of blocks, 1.3 per 36 when he was at 0.7 last season. That's the big improvement from Vonleh this season, is the big jump in his block rate, the big jump in his field goal percentage, mainly due to the big increase in his three-point percentage, a guy who shot 30% from three last season. So there is some regression coming from Vonleh. There's going to be inconsistency with playing time. He played only 21 minutes in the Knicks' loss to the Nets, but had played over 30 in the three previous to that, and then under 20 the two previous to that. So it's up and down, but as a rebounding, shot-blocking, efficient sort of a player, Vonleh is a back-end 12-team league guy, albeit, I think, with limited upside. Kent Bazemore, who was a guy that I thought should have been dropped, but with Taurean Prince injured, he is back into the rotation and putting up strong numbers and strong minutes. Now, when Prince returns, I think Bazemore will likely go back to not being a rosterable 10 or 12-team league guy. But Prince isn't back, so we can look at Bazemore as an option. He is the 72nd ranked player over the course of the season, in only 26 minutes per game, on the back of his triple one, 1.3 threes, 1.7 steals, and one block per game. The minutes are up over the last three games, or over the last two games, in fact, 35 and 33, the two games he started without Prince, and generated seven steals and three blocks with four triples and 14 assists. So that is a must-add player, even though it probably won't last all that long. A guy that is currently injured, I think, needs to be rostered is Jeremy Lin, rostered in only 15% of leagues. Maybe you could look at that as more of a 14-team league guy, but I think that he can have value in leagues shallower than that. He is a top 150 player already this season and a top 90 player over the last month, and that's because he's shooting 55% in only 20 minutes. But this is a guy that if he gets 20 to 21 minutes a night, can be a top 150 player pretty comfortably, a rock-solid 14-team league player, so a must-roster guy there. And in 12-team leagues, I do think that Lin has some value. Chetty Osman of the Cleveland Cavaliers is rostered in only 28% of leagues. He started out the season red hot and then went into a complete funk, couldn't hit his shots. But one thing with him is certain, the Cavs are committed to building around him. As weird as it sounds, he is getting minutes no matter what. He's moving up and down the rotation, playing the three, playing the four. The minutes are there. Now, the shots aren't. 37% from the field and 32% from three is really impacting his numbers. The assists are worse than I thought they'd be. But if that shot comes back to 42%, 43%, then you're talking about a top 150, top 130 sort of a guy. And I think that Osman can at least get out of the 30s in terms of field goal percentage. A clear must roster, a 14-team league guy. And I do think in 12-team leagues, I'm fairly confident in the minutes for Chetty. And I think that the field goal percentage will increase eventually. Well, we can only hope, I guess. Emmanuel Mudiay, not a name I thought I'd ever really be talking about in terms of 12-team league value, but at the moment, Trey Burke's injured, Frank Ntilikina in and out of the rotation. Yeah, Mudiay is providing some okay numbers. Now, I don't think that he is a rock-solid, guaranteed rest-of-season value guy, because even over the last 2 weeks where he's played 29 minutes a game, he's the 192nd ranked fantasy guy because he just struggles in so many areas. The field goal percentage, which was strong to start the season, has dropped back off. He's a low assist, doesn't generate steals, doesn't hit threes in big volume, doesn't get rebounds. In fact, averaging under 3 rebounds per game, which is a putridly pitiful number. And Fizdale is just as likely to change his rotation as anything. But he's getting pretty consistent numbers the last four games. 28-3-7, 16-5-4, 17-2-6, 13-1-4. Those numbers are enough if you're punting field goal percentage to consider Moutier a 12-team league player. We just really don't know how long that's going to continue, unfortunately. Another point guard to look at is De'Anthony Melton of the Phoenix Suns, who started the last game for Phoenix. We don't know whether that will continue or whether it will be him moving back and forth with Elie Okobo or with both of them on the bench with Devin Booker starting next to Mikal Bridges, which seems like it'll be the likely case with the Suns and with how they run their rotation. But I think Melton's ability to get steals and blocks with rebounds and assists is a really valuable option, and he's someone I'd be adding just for the upside, even though I understand that it's probably not going to work out in my favor. A couple of deep league guys to look at: Reggie Bullock, who is injured at the moment, but he'll be back. He is rostered in way too few leagues. Same with Mo Harkless and same with Stan Johnson, all 14 to 16 team must add players. And that'll wrap it up for the waiver wire section of today's show. Okay, guys, fantasy check-in time for the Atlanta Hawks. Back around, we've done all 30 teams now in the fantasy check-in series, so back to look at the Hawks and what's happened for them over the last couple of weeks. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, has really pushed forward, averaging 2.7 steals per game over his last six games. It pushes him to be a top 50 guy. Now, of course, those numbers will drop, but his block numbers are really down, his field goal percentage is really down, and that can obviously increase. I think he is a must-roster guy for 12-team league guys. John Collins, back from his injury, putting up big numbers, averaging 21-10. A bit over half a block, 0.7 blocks, 62%. He is clearly a must-roster guy and putting up the numbers we hoped he would do in preseason. While with Taurean Prince injured for a couple more weeks with that ankle injury, Kent Bazemore has stepped up. He is putting up strong numbers, as is DeAndre Bembry and Kevin Huerta, both top 130 players, Bembry and Huerta. 28 minutes for Huerta, 22 minutes for Bembry. They help you in slightly different areas, but not all that different, to be honest, because Huerta, at this point, not really providing much usage, not providing much in terms of shooting, but he's contributing in multiple areas like Bembry. And I think that out of those three guys, Bazemore, Bembry, and Huerta, the most impactful guy at the moment is Bazemore. But in terms of long-term value, I think it's going to be Huerta, who will remain in the starting lineup when Prince returns and probably play those 28 to 30 minutes, whereas I can see Bembry and Bazemore's minutes dropping off pretty consistently. Jeremy Lin's been injured and Trae Young has struggled considerably, 34% from the field over his last six games, which is clearly not a good number, including 25% from three, averaging 14.5 with six assists. So there's still significant scope for improvement for Young. I wouldn't be dropping him in any sort of format, and I'd be trying to acquire him as a buy low guy, if that was at all possible. Fantasy check-in on the Boston Celtics now. Over the last 2 weeks, we've seen Al Horford really rise up the rankings, averaging 18, 6, and 2.5 on the back of some pretty good shooting and strong block numbers. Two blocks per game, that's a little bit high for Horford, so perhaps he's a sell-high guy. We've had Jaylen Brown miss some time. He's back, but he did come off the bench for those two games, but they've been his best two games of the season. 27 minutes a game, averaging 22 points. Now, before you get overly excited about this, he's shooting 71% from the field and 60% from three, and there have been a couple of blowouts, giving him extra playing time. So I'm not rushing to add Brown, even though he is the 22nd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, because there's a number of things there which are completely unsustainable. 71% from the field, even the 85% from the line. It's been two flukishly good shooting games from Brown. I'll watch him, and I'll look at him in 14-team leagues, but not much more than that. Marcus Smart has been starting. He's helping you with steals, 2.5 a game, 5 assists, and not actually being that destructive to your field goal percentage, shooting 44% over the last 5 games, which is pretty strong. For him, 36% from 3. He does have some 12-team league value, though. Jaylen returning, I think, puts a little bit of a cramp in that. Gordon Hayward is right where you want him to be. Despite playing only 26 minutes a game, the 66th ranked guy, he's looking more comfortable off the bench. The assists are up, and there's still scope for him to be much better than this. So I think you should be encouraged if you have him. While Marcus Morris also putting up nice numbers in that starting lineup. I'm a bit worried about that being able to continue. The scoring is nice. He doesn't do a huge amount else, and the efficiency is up. And when that drops, I worry that Marcus Morris's value may dip somewhat. But for now, he is putting up some decent enough 12-team value. This isn't a team where we're going to get surprise performers, I don't think, like Semi Ojeleye or the Rock DJ Robbie Williams. None of those guys are going to really step up and do big things. But Daniel Tice had a start over the weekend in that game where they destroyed the Bulls, and he put up an absolute monster performance. So it's always worth remembering that there are some guys like Tice that, when giving an opportunity, can really produce the fantasy goods. Fantasy check-in on the Brooklyn Nets, of course, been doing it recently without Caris LeVert. The big step-up player has been Spencer Dinwiddie, but despite how solid his numbers have looked, he's still just the 160th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. I don't really concern myself too much with that. He is a must-roster player, averaging 17 with 2 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and shooting 45%. The free throws is what's really doing him in, just 66% on 5 attempts, and that's what's dropping him below what would appear to be a must-roster number. Alan Crabb also starting to improve, 3.6 triples per game over his last 7 games. That's really where his value lies. He's not doing too much more than that, but that can be really valuable. D'Angelo Russell, a solid top 50 player, and Smoke and Joe Harris, who missed some time with a groin injury. He has been solid in that area, but I guess more of a lower upside guy. He can be a 12-team league player, but he's more of that 14-team league guy. Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs is into the rotation now. He's replaced Shabazz Napier. He's not doing a huge amount. In fact, hasn't hit a single three-pointer throughout the last 4 games. 0 of 10 from 3, but still averaging 6.5 points with half a steal. He's more of a dynasty type of guy and a deep league player, but I feel he's going to stick in the rotation. Well, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had a big game last time, but over the last 2 weeks, he's the 249th ranked player in 29 minutes a game, averaging 11.5, low steals, no blocks, poor percentages, really struggling. I'm not rushing to grab Rondae, despite that strong performance in the last outing. I just have very little faith in him being a high upside guy, and I think the floor is relatively shaky as well. So that would be your fantasy check-in for the Brooklyn Nets.